Think you know the Brooks Ghost? Think again. Introducing the all-new, better-than-ever Ghost 16. Now with nitrogen-infused cushioning for lightweight, supreme softness that feels good every step, every street, every single day. So go ahead, take your daily joyride in the all-new nitrogen-infused Ghost 16. It'll turn your everyday miles into everyday endorphins. Let's run there. Head to brooksrunning.com to learn more.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
In a week where Ben Stokes was named England captain solely because he was the only person other than Joe Root assured of a spot in the team, this is Can't Bowl, Can't Throw.
If you lined up people you might thought were 10, 15 other potential England captain candidates in English cricket, Ben Stokes is at the top of that list, regardless of whether people think there's no one else to do it.
You're here with Kat Jones and Dan Lipke, and that was either Rob Key or Nasser Hussain talking about Ben Stokes.
We cannot separate them on voice alone, can we?
No, we have no idea. But yeah, so Rob Key disagreeing with the opening joke of the podcast. He's saying there may be as many as 10 or 15 candidates.
Did you send him the joke before
we
started?
I did, yeah. And he's
said, not no, amused.
There's multiple candidates, hundreds of possible England
They're
captains.
All lining up, and yep. Regardless of who they are or whether there's only one or two in the queue.
Ben's at the Ben's front of the queue.
Ben's at the front of the queue. He's there just in front of presumably Joe Root.
Yeah, and I assume though.
And then third daylight.
Yeah. And I assume the queue's ranked on, you know, fist fighting ability, pub brawling skills. Because I'm not 100% sure this is correct, but I think he's the first international captain renowned for getting involved in drunken fist fights since Ricky Ponting. Because Ponting ended up with a black eye. Ricky Ponting, not as good a fighter.
No.
Ended up with a black eye after a fight outside a bar.
Yeah. And presumably every Australian captain before Ricky Ponting would have been a fist fighter.
So, yes.
I don't want to sledge them by saying they weren't.
Yeah, hard to imagine Pat Cummins involved in a fist fight, but no. I'm sure he'd be very good at it if he was. He'd be proper boxing technique, I imagine.
Gloves on.
Yes. Will Ben Stokes be as successful as a captain as Ricky Ponting was?
Well, provided he is in the team. I mean, occasionally he has injuries and time out. So anyway, we don't know who the vice captain is, right? Is that Joe Root being the only person behind him in the queue?
I guess so, yeah. I'm sure Ben will look around. I think he's good mates with Johnny Bairstow. I think he and Johnny like to go out and get into a bit of rough and tumble together.
It can be a bowler. Come on, we've got to have
Stuart Broad and Jimmy Anderson. Yeah. Just whichever one's playing, they're the vice captain.
The co-vice captains,
yes. I also like that since we all know that Ben Stokes will inevitably be knighted for his services to providing entertaining, you know, rain delay television for English fans. So England, and that will happen soon, I imagine. The Queen's running out of time. So once he's Sir Ben Stokes, the England will have effectively two knights in charge of their men and women's cricket teams,
which
I think is very British.
Should be a prerequisite.
Yeah.
This is the part of the show where we discuss the cricket news of the week.
Lots of stuff going on in the world of cricket, but we have just time to cover Wisden's Cricketers of the Year.
Yeah, so Wisden came out with their lists of Cricketers of the Year and their, what else they call it, leading cricketer in the world is their variation on Cricketers of the Year. It's all very detailed their rules.
Mm. And so we know there was a massive queue of at least 10 or 15 people for this award.
Yep.
And who ended up getting it?
Joe Root was in front of this particular queue. So Joe Root was named Wisden's leading cricketer in the world. So that meant for the third year in a row, England had the leading cricketer in the world, which obviously means they must be the best cricket team in the world.
Definitely.
They're flush with so much talent.
Yeah.
They'd have to be the best team.
Absolutely.
So new captain Ben Stokes, of course, was the winner in 2019 and 2020. So 2019 he won because he just did impossible things, won a World Cup basically single-handedly, won a Headingley Test single-handedly. So that was 2019. 2020, I think England were the only team playing cricket in 2020.
Well, I think, you know, Joe Root and Ben Stokes were at the front of this two-person queue and they just take it
they
in
just
turns.
They just take it in turns, yeah. Yeah, so I
without being too predictable about it.
Yeah. So my wish is that this will continue, that they'll stay at the front of the queue. England will continue to be terrible at Test cricket, but they will still have every year the leading cricketer in the world. So maybe Stuart Broad can come up and, you know, be close to the front of the queue this year. But otherwise, we can flip back to Ben or Joe, whichever one's
out best.
And then
maybe Ben again.
Yeah, maybe Ben again.
Then maybe Joe again.
Yes.
It's definitely something that it has to be someone from England, surely.
Yeah, I think so. But they do have the other award, which is the older award, the one that goes back to the 1890s or something. They're five cricketers of the year, and that's got far more convoluted rules. You have to have an influence on the previous English season, and once you get it, you can't ever get it again. So, which is a very neat way to do the award. So this year's winners were Jasprit Bumrah, Devon Conway, Ollie Robinson, Rohit Sharma, and Dane van Niekerk.
What about Lizelle Lee? She got the...
I don't know what she got.
She got the best women's cricketer.
Ah, okay. Yeah, that doesn't count. That's not five cricketers of the year. That's something else.
that's the Joe Root equivalent.
Yeah. Well, there's a mistake there because she's not English, so we're not quite sure what's going on in that. So they'll have to have another look at that, I think, Wisden.
Mm.
Anyway, it did inspire us that we're going to do the Can't Bowl, Can't Throw six cricketers of the year. So we'll do one more than Wisden just to show them up a little bit. And I think we'll just take it in turns. I think we've both tried to come up with three nominations each.
What's a criteria, though?
I think we'll just do players' influence on our podcast over the previous Australian summer.
Number of Muller nominations.
Number of Muller nominations. All these things get weighed together.
Yeah, right.
And players, again, similar, can only receive it once. Unless we really would like them, then they'll get another crack next year.
Also, and we may not remember who we chose from one year to the next.
I'm not going back to look at the sheet next year.
So chances are it'll just be, you know, Joe Root and Ben Stokes alternating.
Yeah. Yes. So do you want to go first or do you want me to go first?
You go first.
All right. Well, my first nominee is Tim Payne. We've kind of forgotten a little bit about Tim Payne, but he was a very important figure at the start of the Australian summer. He was there declaring that the Ashes would go on pretty much regardless of whether England showed up or not.
Yep.
Remember when England weren't coming for the Ashes because they didn't like all the COVID restrictions?
Well, we did have enough cricketers that we could have just made our own tournament here.
Yeah. So anyway, Tim Payne was there for that. And then, of course, he had his infamous dick pic resignation, which, among other things, did cause the delay of the PS4 and Xbox official games of the cricketing summer. So
that's right.
A big influence on the cricketing summer was Tim Payne. And he lost the captaincy as well.
Yeah, of course. And we're not claiming that PS4 and Xbox use dick pics in their game. It would be a much better game if they did.
Well, maybe there's like something you can unlock if you have some DLC. Yes.
All right. So Tim Payne definitely is one of the six cricketers of the year, and probably good because he may not appear.
I don't think he'll be in the mix again next year, although you never know. Never say never.
So I'm going to nominate James Anderson as one of my cricketers of the year. Number one reason is because he's English.
Yes, of course. Yeah.
But he was this is back before the Ashes again in the Tim Payne days. He was urging the Australians to keep it respectable during the traditional pre-Ashes war of words.
Yeah, good old Jimmy. He's always a peacemaker, isn't he?
Yep. And he's also he claimed, you know, we've got the benefit of hindsight, of course. Mm. Who knew England might have won the Ashes 5-0? But he also claimed Ben Stokes' victory at Headingley gave the England Test team that feeling that they could win from anywhere.
Yep. Yes, it is very admirable how they never succumb to that temptation, isn't it?
That's right. They just constantly pulling back from that.
Mm.
But he did qualify mostly. England didn't give him the chance to actually do those things because, of course, he wasn't selected.
He missed about half the Ashes, missed the entire West Indies tour.
Yeah.
But he does get to say a lot of things.
That's right.
All right, so my next nominee is Beth Mooney, who managed to have the coach break a jaw in the nets, which is always a good start to a cricketing
season.
And
that wasn't a punch, we might
No, that wasn't. That was presumably just some kind of bouncer that went astray. But she only bothered to take a couple of days to recover, and then she was out there running around again, taking, you know, diving, screaming catches in the outfield.
With her jaw held together with tape.
Yeah. So Beth Mooney kind of proving that she's kind of a maniac. Because even when she was rested from a T20 game later in the Ashes, she decided that she'd go for a jog around the Oval, which tickled us at the time. So yeah. Beth Mooney's my other nomination.
Well deserving. Mm. Now, of course, I don't know why it took us till the fourth nomination to get to this one, but of course Glenn Maxwell is nominated, and he can – well, I've already changed the rules. He can be nominated next year too.
Yeah, I think he's the front runner.
That's right. Now, he, of course, got – yours got back-to-back – this is my favourite thing he did for the year – back-to-back. Zero, not out, zero, off zero to guide Australia into the T20 World Cup finals. So absolutely faultless innings.
Mm, yep.
Did not trouble the scorers one jot.
Yes.
So that was one of the best moments of Glenn Maxwell. He also he led a team of completely random young children into a Melbourne Stars BBL game when everyone else went out with COVID.
Then
scored 154 from 64 balls in his 100th BBL match, was crazy good.
It was absolutely crazy. The Stars made 2 for 273 in that match, so that was a quite an innings.
Yeah.
My next nominee, another English person, because got to have our quota there. Rory Burns, who delighted us all with his opening antics during the Ashes. So the very first ball of the Ashes, bowled behind his legs by Mitchell Starc, which then England kind of magnified by coming out a little bit later that week and saying, oh, this was something we planned for. They planned for Rory Burns to get bowled behind his legs. So good stuff. And then to kind of counteract this, he was spotted a little bit later, practicing in the nets, balancing on one leg as he, for no immediately obvious reason, just balancing on one leg, holding the bat in one hand.
Mm.
And then he kind of topped it off at the end of the Ashes by revealing these long, lustrous, flowing locks.
That's right. He had his hair tied back for a fair bit of it, and then all of a sudden he had free mane hair.
Yeah, didn't help his batting, but it looked much better.
No, that's all I really remember of Rory Burns.
So I think we've got one more. The sixth nomination
is Steve Smith, and he, of course, returned to the captaincy during the Ashes, just for the one match, after Cummins was ruled out because he was a close restaurant contact.
Yes, I think that was when there were like 25 cases in Adelaide, and Pat Cummins happened to be sitting next to one in a restaurant.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Lyon and Starc are a bit smarter. They were sitting outside, so they were okay. Maybe they're having a cigarette out there.
Yeah, maybe.
Who knows? Then, of course, Steve Smith got stuck in an elevator and live tweeted the entire event.
Live Instagrammed, I think.
And he had Eminem smuggled to him by none other than Marnus, who doesn't make an appearance in this top six.
No, a bit of a shock, I think, Marnus not making the six.
Fantastic. He also bowled the final over in the fourth test. There was only one wicket to get, and bad light meant that the pace bowlers had to be taken off, but he bowled some kind of dreadful last over, including a rank full toss last ball, I think.
I think it was it was Broad and Anderson defending out, and there was one ball to survive. Everyone crowded around the bat, and Steve Smith just lobbed one in the sky, which Anderson defended safely.
And then he somehow made it back to Sydney in time for the Sixers BBL final.
Yep.
And he wanted to go to this, or at least he wanted to play in it, or people claimed he did. But he wasn't allowed to, and the Sixers went on and on about it.
They went on for ages. So I think they're our six can't ball, can't throw cricketers of the year. So congratulations
favorites
to all of them. Mm. We do have some honourable mentions. Just want to quickly go through Matty Wade, who dropped a hat-trick off Adam Zampa. And when Adam Zampa complained, Wade said, yeah, I was trying to catch it. So good work, Matty Wade.
We also had Devin Conway broke his hand punching his bat after being dismissed in the New Zealand-England semi-final. So he was ruled out of the final for that. So good work.
We did have the great Curtis Camphor, who took four wickets in four balls and got a great big subsection of cricket fans furious about the phrase double hat-trick.
Yeah.
So that was very good.
Wonderful World Cup antics we're remembering here. Joe Root, again, hit in the nuts multiple occasions in the second test.
Yep. Virat Kohli yelled at a cricket stump because of the DRS decision didn't go his way. Another fine nomination.
And speaking of yelling, we had Stuart Broad also yelling, but this time at a robot.
Yep.
Stop moving the robot!
There we go, Stuart Broad.
Good work.
And, of course, we do have a subcategory of the Coach of the Year winner is, of course...
Jail time.
Jail time. Justin Langer. Congratulations to Justin Langer.
Please support capitalism by checking out these sponsors.
All right, this episode is sponsored by my tabletop role-playing game, Sloggers and Sledges, which is a role-playing game in the style of Dungeons & Dragons, except instead of creating, you know, magic users and fighters and thieves and things, you just create cricketers.
Can't they be thieves as well?
They can be thieves
and
as well.
And fighters?
Yes, there's plenty of scope for them to be fighters as well. Yeah. But you create your cricketer, you roll them up, and then you go tour strange and dangerous other countries, and you get all the drama and excitement of touring foreign lands. You can fend off television reporters trying to interview you. Combat trolls on social media. You can try and overthrow your underperforming captain. And you can occasionally play cricket matches. So it's got all the aspects
Everything.
Of a cricket
tour. Do you need 11 or 10 other friends in order to play this tabletop game?
You don't. You can play with that many.
Really?
But yeah, I think it could just be a tour manager who runs the game and a single player who gets to play. But as from 1 to 10 other players.
A bit like Ben Stokes. Yes. A single talented player.
Yeah. So you can get this by going to leibcricket.com/store, and that's where you'll find all the other games I've created, like All the Fixins, which is a strategy card game of lies and deception where you try and determine which player is the match fixer before they cost your team the test match.
That is a very fun game.
It is. So go to leibcricket.com/store for that.
I was approached by a man who I later discovered to be a bookmaker from India. I was fined $10,000 and paid my fine immediately. I realise and accept fully that my actions were naive and stupid. I realise that I was very naive and stupid and stupid and stupid.
All right, it's Cat's Gambling Corner here, which is where we do our IPL coverage, so which is where Cat has most of her gambling taking place. So what bets have we got going on?
No new bets. We're not going to really talk much about the IPL. We'll just cover this bet, which is Glenn Maxwell to be the top tournament run scorer, $10 bet at 51.
Mm-hmm.
And it had long odds for a reason.
Yes. Yes.
It's impossible.
Yes.
But anyway, the first podcast, so we'll follow this throughout the IPL. Glenn Maxwell's come in a little late, but he has played quite a number of games now. And first podcast that we did, he was equal 99th with zero runs.
Yep.
Then last time he rocketed up the charts and he was on the top run scorer charts, number 38 with 112 runs from 4 matches.
Yep.
And now he's inching up the charts.
Oh, okay.
He's now number 37.
37, okay. So he's got 36 more games to play in the IPL. I'm pretty sure that's right.
Hopefully.
He's got 36 more games to play. He'll be first by the end of that.
Yeah,
Josh Butler
know.
Can't keep going at this rate, surely.
Oh, I hope not. Anyway, he's got 157 runs right now. So just a little way to go there for Glenn Maxwell.
Or is he?
So he is 157 with Mayank Agarwal on 161 just above him and Rohit Sharma on 155. Just below him.
He can surge past both of them.
He can
surge
past at least one of them.
Yeah.
He's played 7 matches now. So, you know, and guess who's
winning? Over
the next
37 matches, he'll be fine.
Top of the list, still Joss Butler.
Yeah.
He's hopefully going to get
10,000 runs or something.
Yeah, he's got 566 runs.
Calm down, Joss.
Yeah.
Can't bowl, can't throw, coming live. Thanks for tuning in and taking your time. The underappreciated act of the week. The funniest and crazy plays of the week. Who is going to join the honorary board? The number one Scott Moeller Award.
Here we are in the Moeller Award for underappreciated acts in the world of cricket. And we said that we were really covering the IPL in the last segment. But we've got a few more nominations from the IPL, haven't we, Dan?
We do.
The Moeller Award this week.
Yep. So we do have in one of the games not long ago, a couple of nights ago, the wicket of Mahipal Lomra. He was caught by David Miller off Alzari Joseph, and that decision was actually reversed because someone pointed out that the ball had hit a cable that was strewn across the stadium, and therefore it was deemed to be a dead ball, and they had to bowl it again. So, like any half decent fan of the X-Men, I disapprove of a cable changing the timeline. It's a very nerdy joke there for you.
I have no idea what that means.
Yeah, I'd X-Men explain it to you, but
you can't do that. No. I've got to commend David Miller, though. I mean, if it's hit the cable and he's still caught it, it's actually quite difficult to do that when something's adjusted the flight of the ball. So probably should have got 2 wickets for it you instead reckon? Of zero.
Yeah. So next batter's out as well. Or both, yeah. both batters at the crease are out.
Yeah, both batters are out. Yeah.
Well, I think the current law as it stands does open some loopholes. I think if you had a skillful enough archer in your squad, they could have a cable attached to an arrow.
Ooh.
And they could just shoot it out as you sky at any delivery and, you know, aim it so, you know, Hawkeye-style archer. Just,
wow.
So it hits the cable as it flies over. I assume this is why Joffre Archer was purchased at the mega auction
yep.
and hasn't played a game. He's just in there to show off his bowmanship.
To shoot off arrows.
Yeah.
Well, there's almost nothing that's going to beat the Gujarat Titans at this point.
Mm.
They basically defeat everyone and they are top of the table. So yep. good luck to anyone playing them.
Yep. All right. We have another nomination.
Well, another match in the IPL, we had Sam Billings, who's keeping, and he knocked a bail off with his gloves and then he appealed for hit wicket.
Yep.
Or he appealed for something.
Yeah.
Was reviewed and given not out, just keeping the umpires on their toes, I reckon.
Yeah, I think it's a good idea to test. I mean, who knows? The ICC changed the laws all the time. Maybe the hit wicket thing's been changed so the fielding team can instigate it.
Yeah.
You never know. Good on Sam Billings, I say, for checking whether the laws have been updated and whether this was allowed.
You got to ask the question.
You do. And finally, we have some speculation from Dan Breddick that Glenn Maxwell might force his way back into the Australian Test side. This was in the local newspapers down here. The Sri Lanka tour is coming up and basically Glenn Maxwell hasn't been chosen in the Test squad, but he's part of the one-day squad and Andrew McDonald likes the cut of his jib. So if he bats reasonably well in the one-days and T20s, maybe they'll let him hang around. Maybe he can force his way back in.
Yeah,
into the side.
Well, it felt like fake news. I was expecting him to be announced in the Test squad after that, but unfortunately not quite announced.
Not yet.
Not yet. Yeah, that's true.
So Breddick was saying basically a 5-6-7 combination of Green, Maxwell and Carey would be a useful change-up if Australia wanted an extra right-hander in the middle order on Asian pitches.
Mm.
I don't think that's right. I think you want, you know, Shane Watson showed us the way all those years ago. If you've got Glenn Maxwell in your Test team, you open with Glenn Maxwell. Open the bowling, open the batting, get him up the top of the order. Sorry, yeah. Dave Warner, you've had your time. Off you shoot. Usman Khawaja, Glenn Maxwell opening the batting. I think that's the way for the Australian Test team.
Well, in the IPL, Maxwell opened the bowling in the last game I watched. He only bowled one over, but he opened the bowling.
Yep.
So it's a
ready.
Wonderful formula. He's ready. Yep. He's practiced.
Yep. So who's going to get the Muller Award this week?
I think we need to give it to Sam Billings.
Sam Billings, yeah. I think Sam Billings a little bit of mischief behind the stumps.
Wisdom would give it to Sam Billings.
Yeah, exactly. So congratulations, Sam Billings, for the Muller Award.
And you may also make it into our top 6 cricketers of the year next
year
after all of that.
Although you'll have to do something in the Australian summer. I'm not sure. We may change the rules next year. Yeah. We'll probably forget it exists next year.
Probably.
Anyway, you've been listening to Dan Lipke. I'm at Lieb Cricket on Twitter. You've also been listening to Kat Jones, who is at Cricket Bat Cat on Twitter. And you can follow us on Can't Bowl Throw on Twitter. Like us on Facebook. Just search for Can't Bowl or Can't Throw. And we will catch you all next week.
See you later.
Sports Social Podcast Network.